Okay, the boy said today's daf is daf mem tes. It's the final daf in Perek HaChoyles. We start at the very top of the Yomid with a brand new Mishnah, Zok the Mishnah. We've discussed the inyanim of this Mishnah already a few times in our Masechta. The famous machloikas of Rabbi Kiva and the others, vis-a-vis, when does a child, Rachmon Litzlan, become a mamzer as a result of the fact that his parents live together in sin? So Rabbi Kiva is the one that's most expansive. Jeff, you just joined us. We're at the top of Memtes Amud Aleph at the Mishnah. Ezel mamzer, what is the definition of the word mamzer? Memtes, it's Masechtas Yevamos from Talmud Bavli, Memtes, which is 49a, at the very top, at the Mishnah. So says the Mishnah, Ezel mamzer, what's the definition of a mamzer? Says Rabbi Kiva, kol she'er basar jehu beloy yovoy. Anytime that you have an incestuous relationship, she'er basar, says Rashi, means kol kurva. Any type of kurva which is osur, which is belav, even though it doesn't have the major punishment and penalty of a kares or of a misa, anytime there's a lav which involves she'er basar, which means, says Rashi, kurva, some sort of a relationship, what's the din? Shub le'yovai, then chas shalom, the child is a mamzer. Divrei Rabbi Akiva. The Gemara is going to give examples, Mitch, and we'll see more as we see the Gemara. Shimon HaTimni Yomer, Shimon HaTimni says, Kol Shechiyovan Olav Koris Bidei Shamoim. It has to be one of those which are listed in the Torah, in particular these week's Parshiyos, Parshas Achrimois, this week's Parsha, next week's Parsha Kedoshim, where they have a long list of all of the Isurei Krisus, like it says at the end of the Parsha, Kekola Shiyas, Mikola Te'evis, Ve'elav Et'nechresa, Adin of Kari, so all those that have Adin of Kari Bidei Shamoim, if Chas V'Shalom, a person engages in that relationship, typically an incestuous relationship of relatives, what's the halacha? The child becomes a mamzer. And says the Mishnah, V'halacha kidvarav. Even though Rabbi Kiva is the great Rabbi Kiva, of Lamais, in this case, we paskin like Shimon HaTimni, not like Rabbi Kiva. And then we have a third view in our Mishnah, of Rabbi Shua Omer, Kol Shechayoven Olav Misas Bezdin. It's got to be one of those that not only is a din of Koris, but there's a din of Mises Bezin, one of the terrible four, Skilis Reifa, Hereg, V'chanik. And we'll see, Mitchum the Gemara, what is the makar for all three of these approaches or views in the Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, Vayit Omer Pshimon ben Azai, Matzasi Megillas Yochsim Yerushalayim. Now, before we even go into the substance of what Pshimon ben Azai says, you'll notice there's an asterisk next to the word Rebbe. And on the asterisk, it says on the side, Ayin Bepirish Harav Mi Bar Tadura, Reish Perik Dalid Di Ovois. At the very beginning of the fourth perik of Mesechtes Ovois, Perik Ovois, it says, Ben Zoyim Oimer, Ezeu Chocham Haloimed Mi Kol Odom. So it says Ben Zoyma. Why does it have the name Ben Zoyma? What happened to Ben Zoyma's first name? So if you look up the Bar Tanura, it says over there that the reason why it doesn't mention his first name is because, number one, unfortunately he passed away young. Number two, he never received any smicha because of his youth. And therefore says that the Bar Tanura, that's why it doesn't mention his name. If you're wondering what Ben Zoyma's name is, says the Bar Tanura, his name was Shimon Ben Zoyma. And he says the same thing applies to Ben Azai, his name was also Shimon Ben Azai. And both of them, unfortunately, never received smicha, and they passed away young. And that's why in the Mishnah and the Gemara, typically they're only referred to by their father's name, not with their own name. So based on that, many say that the word Rebbe in our Mishnah should be deleted, because the way the Bar Tanur is explaining, he never got smicha, so therefore the word Rebbe would be inappropriate. And the art school brings that in older Kismayad, those are manuscripts, the word Rebbe does not appear, it just says Shimon ben Azai. Why here it does say Shimon instead of just ben Azai, I don't know, but bottom line is, l'chor, the word Rebbe is a mistake. Yes, sir.
Does it also mean that they had never gotten married?
That's a very good point. The Bar Tanur does not address that. All the Mefarshim say that, in other words, not over there in Dafkin Perek Dalet, but elsewhere, that either Ben Azai or Ben Zayman never got married. One of them said, Nafshi Choshka B'Toyra, and therefore that's why that was my marriage. I love the Torah. Okay?
And about Shimon ben Azai and Shimon ben Zoma were the, among the four that nichnasu lepardes.
That's correct. Mm-hmm. That's correct. The there's a story with the Divrei Chaim. Divrei Chaim was the Tzanzeruv, well known throughout Europe and throughout the world. And he, his wife, unfortunately passed away. And then he was looking for a Zivig Sheni. And his eldest son was the Divrei Yecheskel, who was the Shinavaruv, himself a Grace of Gudel as well. The Divrei Yecheskel was not happy about the fact that his father was looking for another Zivig. I don't know why. Maybe because he wanted to protect his mother's legacy. But bottom line is he wasn't happy. So he said to his father that, as you know, it says about Ben Azai, that Nafshei Choshka Batoira. So perhaps Tati, maybe you should go and take the Torah. He says, I cannot because the Torah is already in Eishes Ish. He's already married to so many other people in Klal Yisrael, so I have to find somebody else. And so he's with Medera Chalotza. That's the story that people tell. But anyway,
Ben Zoma also, they say, did not get married?
I'm not sure, but I was not invited to either Chasana, so I couldn't tell you for sure. But anyway, so continuing on the Gemara. Yeah, so what does Shimon ben Azai say? Matzasi Megillas Yochsen b'Yerushalayim. I found the Megillas Yochsen. It doesn't exactly explain what that means, but presumably the Batei Dinim maintain lists of all of those people that were Isurei Kohol, people that could not get married to the Kohol. They needed that because, after all, over a period of time, people would forget. And then, Cholila, in future generations, you could have Mamzerim, or the offspring of the Mamzerim, who were also Mamzerim, joining the rank and file of Klal Yisrael. So apparently this Megillas Yochsen was such a Megillah in which they wrote down all of those people that had blemishes on their legacy, on their records, on their DNA, whatever. And they found there in the Megillas Yochsen about a particular person, a Kosovo, Ish Ploini, doesn't identify the name of the person, he's a Mamzer. And the Megillas Yochsen continues on, he's a Mamzer Me'eshes Ish, that unfortunately his father, his grandfather, whatever, lived with an Eishes Ish, produced a child, and that child, unfortunately, is a Mamzer. Now the question is, why does a Megillas Yochsen have to go into that detail? It would have been enough simply to go and say, Ish Ploini Mamzer Hu. Or maybe just Mamzer without the word Hu. Why did it have to say Me'eshes Ish? Says Shimon ben Azai to prove the kind of Rabbi Yeshua that at least that Megillas Yochsen, whoever the Mechaber was, whoever the person who owned that Megillas Yochsen, he felt that you're only a Mamzer not based on a Chi of Kares, but based on one of the Avon Mises Bezdin. And as an example, it says Me'eshes Ish. Now the question, yes.
Crimes of Mises Bezdin a complete subset of Chive Kares, or there are some that are Chive Kares that are Mises Bezdin and not Chive Kares?
I believe the answer is like your suggestion in your question, that all Chive Mises Bezdin are automatically also Chive Kares in case there is no Edim and Hasra, just like by Shabbos. So now the question is, if that's in fact what the Kavona of the Mechaber of the Megillas Yochsen to emphasize that we paskin like Rabbi Yeshua, and that it has to be Dafka from the Mises Bezdin, if that's the case, Freitin Gemara, why did it have to go and say Mamzer Me'eshes Ish? Why did you simply say Mamzer Mechiyuve Bezdin or Mises Bezdin? Why does it go in and tell us about Me'eshes Ish? I mean, who cares what the source of the Mises Bezdin was? So this is not my kasha, this is Toisus is kasha. The Toisus is right before the wide lines. Ish ploini mamzer me'eshes ish teima tolei nokat chayove mises bezin stam. We don't need to go into the graphic details. We can simply say that this person is a mamzer because he's from the chayove mises bezin. You're going to say v'imishim the maser shohaya kachoya. It's that kasha of a maser. That's what it says. If that's the case, came in nolei to have a kerbi shua. If that's the case, if it's just telling us the maser shohaya kachoya, then you have no right to be shua. Someone put together this Megillas Yochsen, and he wrote in Me'eshes Ish, so Mazel Tov. He could have written also from any one of the other Isurim. He did it because that's what he did. So what's the raya? Zokt Tois of Yeshloimet, and Okad Eishes Ish L'Rabus Avad, that it was a Kavona Davke to go and write from the Mises Bezin. So why did he say Eishes Ish and not Mises Bezin? For a Chiddush. The Avu Bishuhu Kal Mishar Chayove Misois Dehava Bechenek, even though this is among the lighter of the four. By the four Mises Bezdin, we have Skilus Reif Herig V'Chenek, according to us, chenek is the least. There are other mandiyama that hold it. Hereg is less than chenek. Mitchell will see that in Masechet Sanhedrin. But anyway, so chenek is the lowest form of the four. The yesh lo had to b'chai oisra. Eishes ish is also more lenient than other isurim. All other isurim remain osir forever, with the exception of achois ishtoi. But for instance, if a person gets married to his wife, and then after that, or not after that, as a result, he also gets the whole package, not only his wife, but he also gets a shviger, a mother-in-law, and then afterwards, his wife gets divorced from him, or even if the wife, chas v'shalom, passes away, makes no difference, chamoisa remains forever and ever. Oh, you're stuck with your shviger forever and ever, the isur, right, about it. He's not allowed to go and marry her. So there's never a heter. Mashenken eishes ish, there is a heter. Tomorrow, if and when she gets a get from that from her husband, then boom, she becomes mutter to the whole world, except for kahana. So therefore, sol kedai techemina, this is a lighter form of isurei bezdin. Number one, it's the most lenient in terms of that it's chenek, and not the other three. And number two, that there's a heter b'chai oisra. So that's why this Megillas Yochsen Mechaber wanted to go and graphically describe and emphasize, not so graphically, but emphasize that the Isser Mamzer occurs even on the lightest form of any of these Chayovei Mises Best.
Being that we went by the Shimon HaTimni, we go by anyone who's Chayiv Kores, and that's only where you get a product of a Mamzer.
Right, right.
Is there any variables where a non-Jew is involved?
That's a very good question. So last week we had several blot that discussed in some detail if you have an Eved or Oivet Kechovim Shebo al Bas Yisrael, Oivet Kechovim being a Gentile, living with a Bas Yisrael, what happens to the child? So many of the real big heavy hitters in the Gemara said that the child is a mamzer. However, many other heavy hitters said it's not a mamzer, it's vlad kosher. And lahalocha, the Gemara says, we paskin that the vlad is kosher. But many hold, like you are suggesting, that in fact the vlad is a mamzer.
Since a bol nida is a chayv kosher,
that's going to be the last line of the Gemara today. See the last line, the bol nida.
Thank you.
What about in reverse, though? If the zachar,
if the husband is a nida, what's the reverse?
That the husband is a Jew and the lady is a goy.
Goita,
and then they have a baby.
Then everybody agrees the child is a goy. And or a goita or a shikta.
Right.
And if they want to become Jewish, they can convert. That happens to be a much better case, because then if they're Megayer, then they're a full-fledged Jews without any taint in their genealogy. Masha Inkin, if you're talking about the reverse,
right.
A goy living together with a Jewish woman, according to many of the Tanoim and Amiram that we had in the Gemara, unfortunately the child is a mamza. We don't paskin like that way. But the Maisa, according to them, it's a mamza. Continuing back in our Mishnah, Ishtoi Shem Maisa. What happens if a person has his wife, Baruch Hashem, and the wife has a sister, David Fishman? We're in the middle of the Mishnah on Mem Tes Amud Aleph. So Ishtoi Shem Maisa, a person has his wife. The wife, unfortunately, passes away. Mutar b'chois is allowed to go and marry his former sister-in-law. The reason for that, even though typically all the other arayos continue on forever, we gave the case of the chamoisai, where a person loses his wife never passed away, tragically, and he wants to go and marry chamoisai, osir forever. It's only in the case of the achoisa, where the Torah says, it's only when they two are both living. If his wife dies, he's allowed to go and marry the Achoisa. In fact, this is such a Dover Poshet that the Gemara is going to say at the very end of today's daf that Kan Shana Rabbi taught something which is really unnecessary, because anybody that ever learns Parshiyos Achi Mois Kedoshim, Miyat Hashem, this week's parsha, next week's parsha, knows that that's the halacha, that Ishul Chois Likach is Davke Bechaya. Now, Girsha Umesa Mutter B'Achoisa. What happens if initially he gave a get to his wife, and then unfortunately his wife, former wife, passed away, then he's allowed to go and marry the Achoisa, allowed to go and marry the sister. Nisis Li Acher Umesa. He unfortunately divorced his wife. She went and married someone else. And then she died. Mutter b'chayse. The original husband is allowed to go and marry the sister. What is the importance of these two cases? It's a double poshet. Bottom line is, Mesa, she died. We just kept on saying, Ishul choyse b'chayeha. Why do you have to say another case of Mechtel? You could also say she went to Australia and she died over there. Mutar b'chayis. I mean, what's the need for that? So the Mefoshim say that it's not the halacha that is expressed in the Mishnah, it's the diuk. What's the diuk? It's Girsha u'meisa mutar b'chayis. What happens if Girsha v'loy meisa, he gave a get to his wife, and the wife, Baruch Hashem, the former wife, is still alive and kicking. Then, Osir Bech Achoisa, he remains Osir with his sister. Why? It's no longer Isha El Achoisa. Zok the Mishnah, the only time it becomes Mutter if she dies. But as long as she is alive, even though they've divorced and she moved to Australia, it makes a difference. Osir Bech Achoisa. And the same thing as the Gabi, the third case. Nisis Li Achiru Mesa. She went and married somebody else. After she was married to her husband, she married somebody else. What happens if she didn't die? So Solka Daita Chamina, since the original husband is no longer allowed to go and remarry his first wife, because she married somebody else, right. That would be a Machzik Rishosim Mishanissis, that's an Isra in the Torah. So I would think that he's totally removed from her, that there now is a major iron curtain, an iron wall between them, it doesn't allow him to go and marry her. So for all practical purposes, for in Yonei Nisuin, it's as if she's dead. Dr. Mishnah, no, it's only if she's actually dead. Umeisa, she's not going to die. But if she's still alive, then the former husband would be Oser Ba'achoisa. Because it all depends on the Chaya. Is she alive? Is she not alive? That's the only thing that really counts. And now the Mishnah repeats basically the same halachas vis-a-vis the Yevama. Yevimtoi Shemesa, a person had a Shemeris Yevam, and that Yevama died and left over a sister, is allowed to go and marry the sister. Now, this is also a Dover Pashit, because what's the reason why when the Yevimtoi is alive is the Osir Bachoisa? That's the famous law of Achoy Zukukasai. You have a Zika from the Yevama, the Achoisa is Achoy Zukukasai, that's why it's us. However, if the Zika passes away, it's certainly not any worse than Achois Ishtoi. To the contrary, it's lighter than Achois Ishtoi. Because after all, the Achois Kukasai, according to most, is a Drabanan and not the Araisa. So, Madcha the Achois Ishtoi, once the Ishtoi passes away, Yemutta Bachoisa. So, once the Zika passes away, Yemutta Bachoisa. Again, the Gemara is going to say at the end of the Perek that this is a Dover Sheena Tricha. We didn't, Rabbi didn't need to teach us this in the Mishnah. What happens if he gave a chalitza to his yivam and then she passed away? Mutar b'chayis, you're allowed to go and marry the chayisim. And again, this is no grosser chiddush because she's dead, she's meisa. But the chiddush is what happens if she was still alive? Cholat lo, and she's still alive, then he would be osir b'chayis. Why would he be? He never was married to this yivam, but it was just a chalitza. That's what we call a chayis chalutzosay. The chayis chalutzosay remains osir. Unless and until Nebuch the Yivam passes away, and then that would be a different story. It's no worse than Achois Ishtar. And similarly, Nisus Li'achra Mesa. What happens if she were to go and marry somebody else, and afterwards she died? Again, Mutar B'chayis. Again, that's no Chiddush. The Chiddush is that Nisus Li'achra, and she still continues to live. And then I would think, okay, there's no way that he can possibly go and marry this lady, either because it happens to be the Achoisa Kukase, there was a Zika, depending on whether or not he gave her a Chalitza. The Mishnah doesn't say, it just says, Nisus L'achar. If he gave her Chalitza, be Achoisa Chalutzase. If she violated and she didn't have Yibam or Chalitza, but she just married somebody else out in the Shuk, so then what happens was, and she's still a Zika. Shal a Zika, Achoisa Kukase. So it really makes no difference, Achoisa Chalutzase, Achoisa Zukukase, Achoisa Ishta. In all cases, as long as they're alive, you're Osir B'Achoisa. Once they pass away, under any of these cases, Mutar B'Achoisa. Okay, Zokti Mark. We started off the Mishnah by saying that we have three separate days. We have Rabbi Kiva, we have Shimon HaTimni, and we have Rabbi Yeshua, and as we're going to see, all three of them learn from the same Pasuk, but of course they darshan in the Pesukim differently. My time the Rabbi Kiva Dechsev, it says in the Pasuk, in Parshas Kiseitze, Leikach Ish Es Eishes Oviv, Leigale Knaf Oviv. And then shortly thereafter is another pasuk that says Leyovim Mamzer Bikal Hashem. Okay, so Darshan Tietz Rabbi Kiva. We know what means Leikach Ish Es Eishes Oviv. You're not going to go and marry your father's wife, even though your father's no longer married to her, even though you may not even know that she was married to your father. Makes no difference.
It makes no difference if he's dead also.
It makes no difference whether he's alive or dead. as long as at one time she was married to that person's father, the son remains usher to go and marry her forever and ever. And the Mishnah and the Pasuk continues on, Gal Kanaf Aviv, he's also not allowed to reveal the Kanaf Aviv. What means revealing Kanaf Aviv? These are somewhat murky terms, clouded in mystery. Says the Gemara, we have a machloikis. We had this machloikis already earlier on in our Masechta, back in Daf Dalid. The real Masechta, the real machloikis is later on. But what does it say in the Pasuk? It says, Knaf Aviv, Konaf Shiro Aviv Lo Yigale. If the father saw this lady's erva, in other words, he lived with her, also you're not allowed to go and live with that lady. Now, isn't that already included in Eishes Aviv? And the answer is it's talking about that the father unfortunately engaged in an unsavory act, and that is that he went and he lived with a Jewish woman without the benefit of chuppah v'kiddushin. He just lived with her. Although the Lashon HaGemara is anusas of lav dafka, that he forced himself upon her, it could even be a consensual relationship. The point is that they were not married. So what's the din now if a person were to go and live with anusas of it? Does the same halacha apply? Zokta Yehuda, that's the taish legalik enough of him, not only the wife of one's father, but even the woman that his father lived with. Now that iser is havilacha yovilavin. That is not an Isser Kores. That is not an Isser of one of the Arba Misois. That's just a din of Chiyav Elavin. What's the lab? This possible. The Gala Kanaf of. Mishamachlein, the Pasuk says after that, Lo Yovei Mamzer Bekal Hashem. Oh, so why do we have this smichus? The juxtaposition of these two psukim together to go and tell you, Zokti Gemara, Alma Mihani Hava Mamzer, that Mamzer is not only defined by Isure Kores, but even by an isalav, if you look up the pasuk in the Chumash, you'll see that the Gemara is leaving out that there's in fact a pasuk in between. We shouldn't think that the two psukim are really mamish one after the other. Right in between the two psukim, you have another pasuk. What is that other pasuk? Le'yavi psuadaka u'krishovcha b'chal Hashem. V is the psukim, because I know the Barry's going to want to see them. Yes, Mandy. Oh, so if Chavakimal Aleph leYikach Ishes Eishes Ovel leYigal leKnaf Ovel. That's the pasuk we just quoted. Then the next pasuk is leYavoy Psu Adaka Krishovcha Bekal Hashem. Psu Adaka Krishovcha means a person who has a physical problem that he's not able to go and produce children. He's sterile. The next pasuk says leYavim Mamze Bekal Hashem. So now our Gemara ignores pasuk Beis and assumes that Aleph and Gimel go together, and really there is a pasuk in between. So this is not my kasha. Tosis already asked the kasha. And Tosis says, it must be that Aleph and Gimel go together, because Beis and Gimel certainly can't go together. If a person is sterile, Rachman Litzlon, and he's not able to do
the mamzer,
he cannot have a mamzer. No, so where else is the mamzer? Mustachlein. So we have to go back on Pasik Aleph. If you look on the first white line, Tosis down below, Yom Toyim Rabba Mafsik Ra, Tol Yom B'tzuh Taka, Yesh Loim B'tkim the Lab B'nei Bonim Nino. It's obviously not his. The lav b'nei bonim usually means grandchildren. It means the lav, since both the p'tzua daka and the krishavcha are not b'nei bonim, they're not capable of having children. V'leishayach minayim mamzer. Mamzer is impossible. Therefore, the choshev hefsik. So therefore, you look at the pasuk as if it's in parentheses, because it's why Kodesh Baruch Hu put it here. I don't know. Tosis doesn't explain why it's there. But therefore, you're allowed to do this michas from pasuk aleph to pasuk gimel, even though there's a hefsik in between, because the hefsik is not considered to be a hefsik. Anyway, so getting back to our Gemara, so we have now a clear cut raya, says Rabbi Kiva, that a mamzer is even from chayov lavin, not only from isurei mamzer, which is the chayov lav. That's the anusis oviv case that we just put. Ul Rav Simoi demarbe shar chayov lavin the lav the share. Rabbi Yeshiva of the Marba Filu Chayavi Essay Nafkehu May Viloi. Rabbi Samoy and Rabbi Yeshiva have a machloikis as to how expansive Rabbi Kiva is when Rabbi Kiva says that you can have a mamzer from anyone and anything which happens to be prohibited. It doesn't have to be Dafka, the big time Arba Mises Bezim. It doesn't have to be even a Chi of Kares. Any Chi of Lav. So now the question is, when we say any Chi of Lav, does it have to be chayuv ilav in the she'er, which is what our Mishnah suggests at the outset? Ezil mamzik kosh she'er basa shubaliyav. It doesn't say kosh shubaliyav. Kosh she'er basa shubaliyav. She'basa means a relationship, and therefore that's parshit Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Simoy said, no. Even she'er chayuv ilav that are not related. In other words, Parshim Shad Rabbi Kiva is talking about some sort of incestuous relationship. What would be the incestuous relationship? For instance, Anusas Ovid, that a woman that lives with his father, and this is the son, so that's considered to be incest for our purposes, just like all the others which are listed in Parshiyos Achrimoyes Kedoshim. What is the case, for instance, of Shachiyov Yilav and the Lav de She'er? So Rashi gives a very simple case. You can have the case, for instance, of Machzir Grushosoi Mishanissis. A person, unfortunately, divorced his wife. She remarried. She got re-divorced, or she became a widow. And now the original husband takes her back. That's Avada, that's Osir. Torah says to Fadish that he's not allowed to go and take her back after Achrei Ashehu Tambah, Kitzi Evehi. But that's not a Lav de She'er. That just happens to be because she married somebody else in between. The best Arai is if she didn't marry somebody else in between, you're allowed to go and take her back. Some people consider it to be a ganze mitzvah to be a machzik rishosik. Anyway, so that's not considered to be the she'er. Nevertheless, what would Rabbi Kiva hold under those circumstances? From our mishnah's mashma, it would not be a mamzer because it's got to be the she'er. Says Rabbi Samoy, no. That Rabbi Kiva was far more expansive, even in the case of the lav the she'er. If you want to go back to daf mem dalet omid aleph. Mem Dalet Amud Aleph. You'll see the Mishnah towards the bottom of the Amud, right before the wide lines. The Mishnah begins Hamachzir Grushasai. Rashi adds the word Mishanissis. Vanoise Chalitzasai. Vanoise Kredis Chalitzasai. Yoitzivav La Mamzer Div Rabbi Kiva. So you see, this is talking about a case to Lav the She'er, and this is Reb Simoy speaking parenthetically in this Mishnah that Rabbi Kiva holds even a regular lav of lo yovei. It doesn't have to be. So the two mishnayos, to a certain degree, are not consistent because the mem dalet mishnah refers to Rabbi Kiva stam, and our mishnah refers to Rabbi Kiva stam. But that is talking about even a lav the inish the she'er, and our mishnah talks about davke a lav the she'er. Anyway, so that's Reb Simoy speaking behind the lines. Reb Yeshevov says afilu chayovei essay. Navishtei tapsa chayovei essay in the Torah, so that we also have. The parsha's ki seitzei, it says in the pasuk, lo yisisayev adoimi ki yochichahu, lo yisisayev mitzvi ki ger hayisa ba'artzvei. So far, it doesn't talk anything about marrying. But the next pasuk is bonim ashi yavoldu lehem dor shlishi yavu lehem v'kal Hashem. Dear children, the third generation. That you're allowed to go and marry. Is the chmashma that if it would be the first generation, Adoimi or Mitzri, or the second generation, it would be prohibited. But the Torah doesn't say, Lo yovoi Mitzri va Adoimi bidoi rishon bidoi sheni. It just says, Bonim ashivot lehem dor shlishi yovel lehem. So therefore, I use my finger and I make a diuk. Oh, it's Tavka, the third generation, that is mutter. But mashma, the first and the second generation are aser. So that's a lav haba mechlal asay, which the Gemara refers to as chayuve asay. And you're saying that according to Rabbi Kiva, even that isur is also produces a mamzer. So someone who marries first or second generation of doing the mitzri, the child is a mamzer. But Rabbi Sheva demar b'afil chayuve asay. Now, how do Rabbi Simoy and Rabbi Sheva, how do they know that Rabbi Kiva would include also, chayuv ilav and delav the she'er, and even chayuv esay. After all, the whole limud is from the pasuk v'leikale kenafodet. And for the Gemara, me viloy from the extra vav, it could have said the pasuk v'leikachish esayshes aviv. Stop. Lo yigale kenafodet. Stop. Why is it viloy yigale? The extra vav comes to tell you these two cases: when it contributes simoy, when it contributes shevav, the gabi shalavin or after the chayuv esay. Okay, so that was Rabbi Kiva. We learned this back on Daf Dalet. We had a machloikis what liyigale kenaf oviv is. The first shot we just had was anusas oviv, which is an isra lav. But now the Gemara is telling us, no, according to the Rabbanan, it's referring to shemeres yovam shel oviv akosim medaber. If you remember at that time, we brought the Rishash that said we have a raya from Megillas Rus, right? It says in the Pasuk, "Uferasta chanofecha al amasecha," where Rus is saying to Boaz, "Go and spread out your kanof over me," meaning that you should go and be miyabim me. So we see that the word kanof is related to the mitzvah of yibam. Therefore, it says, "Galak kanof over," that means a person is not allowed to live with a shemeres yavam of his father. In other words, his father did not do a yibam yet. He may never do a yibam, but that's his shemeres yavam. If the son were to go and marry that shemeres yavam, he'd be over on an isser. What isser would he be over on? The havila chayav a krisus. It would be a chiyav of kares. Why is it? Where does it say it's a legalik nafav? Where does it say chiyav of kares? Right. That's what's bothering Daniel. And the answer is, if you look in parshas Achri Mois Kedoshim, these parshas now, the next 2 weeks, there it says the person is now going to go and marry his aunt. His aunt means the sister, not the sister, the wife of his uncle, the wife of his father's brother. So it has nothing to do with Shemeres Yom. Just when a person has a father, almost everybody has a father, and a father has a brother, not all fathers have brothers, and those brothers typically get married, that wife of the married brother is also to him because of a tzikim and an aunt. So even though Nebuchadnezzar's uncle passed away, but that aunt remains an aunt, because all arayos remain forever, with the exception of achos ishto, because it says b'chaya. So therefore, forgetting about the fact that she happens to be Shemeres Yovam, even before she became a Shemeres Yovam, she had the status of being his aunt, and therefore that is one of the chayove krisis. V'samachlein, and the pasuk continues on, like we said already before, leyovim mamzer, al mechavir krisis, al mamzer. Try. So the exact same words that Rabbi Kiva uses to prove his point, Reb Simoi uses, I'm sorry, Shimon HaTimni uses to go and prove his point. The same legal kanaf of it depends whether that's an usus of it, which is just an Israel, or whether you're talking about Shemeres Yavam, which is an Isser Kars. Rabbi Shua, what does he do now with this limud? Rabbi Shua, lichta v'rachmana, lo yigala, lo yigach lomali. Oh, so Rabbi Shua says, I agree to both of the foregoing, to Rabbi Kiva, and to the Rabbanon, and to Rabbi Yehuda, I like, and to Shimon HaTimni, I agree with all of them that we're going to darsh in the words lo yigala. What's bothering me is, what do you need the lo yigach for? The lo yigach ish eshes of it is totally ibrik. Ibrik means it's superfluous. Why is it superfluous? Because back in Achri Bois Kedoshim, we already have the Isser of the Yigach Ish Eshes. Why does it have to be repeated here in Dvarim im Kiseitze? Now, if Kiseitze would repeat all the Aroyas, okay, it's Mishnah Torah, a lot of things are repeated. But first, ping this one, Yigach Ish Eshes of. Oh, Zokti Mor, I'll tell you, Lavachi Komar, Milo Yigach, Ad Lo Yigale Have a Mamzer, Tvei Lo Have a Mamzer. Meaning, explains Rashi, that Rabbi Shua says, I have no problem with Rabbi Yehuda in learning that the Le'igale Knaf of him means Anusus of it. Gizumtahait, that's fine. I have no problem with the Rabbanan learning Le'igale Knaf of him is telling you the din of Shemeres Yavim Shalavim. No problem. That's fine with me. Each one of them, they learn their Limudim. I'm not getting involved. My only question is, but what do we need the Le'ikach Ishes Eshes of it for? That L'chayra is unnecessary. I'll tell you why. HaKadosh Baruch Hu put in the Li'ikach again. This Li'ikach is referring to Li'ovi Mamzer that we have in the next Pasuk, actually, two Pesukim later. Anyway, so bottom line is, he also agrees it's from the Smichus HaPesukim, but he doesn't take the second part, he takes the first part of the Pasuk, and he says that the Li'ikach is, that's the one that produces the Mamzer. And since the Isser of Eishes Oviv is an Isser not only of Kares, but also an Isser of Mises Bezdin, in fact, it has a din of skila. What's the din? Therefore, that produces the mamzer. Tveile have a mamzer, but anything in addition to that, meaning any of the other isurim, which are not iser oinish mises bez, but only iser koris or iser lav, does not produce a mamzer. Omrabai. So now that we've gone through this entire list and we've explained all three mandiyam, Rabbi says, but like all cases, there are always exceptions to the rule. Hakel moimun ba'ala nida, even though the iser nida is an iser kares, the al ha'soita, if a person goes and lives with his wife that was mizana, we know that once chas v'shalom a person's wife is mizana and she does it beratzoin, then she is oser to her husband forever. If you're talking about, unfortunately, she was violated by someone, then only she'd be usher if her husband is a kohen, but she's not usher to Yisrael. But if she consensually lived with somebody else, Rachman Litzlan, the husband is not allowed to continue living with her.
So she's precluded from making tshuva?
she can do tshuva as much as she wants, but this remains. It's just like Chas V'Shalom, if a person is engaged in one of the incestuous relationships or lives with an Eishes Ish and they have a child, the child is a mamzer. You could take the mamzer and you can be metayim in the mikvah 150 times, up and down, back and forth, but that doesn't stare the person from doing tshuva. The person that engaged in that terrible relationship, he can do tshuva. However, the child remains a mamzer. The Mishnah called it a chesron leyuchal limonis. It's one of those things that you cannot fix. It's impossible to fix the child. So here too, by this soita, if he were to go and live with the soita, he's oiver nisr, okay, but he can do tshuva. So it says on this, in our Mishnah, well, in our Gemara, it says, abayiv ala soita she'ein havlan mamzer. Both the nida and the soita, if the husband lives with his nida, or if a husband lived with his soita, that the soita went and strayed, ein havlan mamzer, if they produce a child, no mamzer. Why? Neither the heart tafsi bakedushin shenema usihi nidasa alav. Afilu b'shas nidasa tafsi bakedushin. So it's a nami dot tafsi bakedushin. What the Gemara is telling us is that the din of a mamzer says abaya is related to tfisas kedushin. Tfisas kedushin means if a person were to go and propose and marry that young lady, is the marriage considered to be valid and effective under Jewish law? So we all know by an Isser Kares, which would include all of the Issurei Oinchim Mises Bezdin, that in all of those cases, the Chitushin would not be Chal. If a person went and sent out wedding invitation, he's going to marry his sister, or he's going to go and marry his aunt, or he's going to go and marry his Shviger. People, of course, in years ago, they would think that the person is somewhat insane. Today, they would probably give him a Nobel Peace Award because he's bringing together different people from different circumstances, different backgrounds, whatever. Anyway, the point is, this, of course, is awesome. So even if you went through the entire marriage ceremony, mit ha mesad kedushin, mit eidim, and mit sheva brachos, mit the ganze 9 yards, lemaisa, the kedushin is not toifis, they've just wasted their money unnecessarily. This is gunish mit kunish.
They always said brachas.
Sorry?
They said brachas of batala.
Yeah, exactly. So it's even worse. Exactly right. Now, according to Rabbi Kiva, ein kedushin toifsin b'chayov elavin. According to Rabbi Kiva, var Mishnah, if a person is just oivan iser lav, not on an iser kares, just an iser lav, also there, the kedushin is not toifis. However, says Abaya, in the case of both Anida and the Tsoita, kedushin is toifis. How do I know the kedushin is toifis? L'gabi nidishinim usihi nidasa alav. So why does the Torah use the expression usihi? To go and tell you, afilu b'shas nidasa, tafsi b'kedushin. And that's why you even have today that if a chosin and kala get married, and it turns out that the kala never became a nida shortly before the time of the chuppah, which happens from time to time. It's called the chuppas nida, and there are all types of rules that apply post the chasana, but the maisa, they're married. It's not as if the kedusha is not toifis, even though it's an iser kares. But the word usihi tells you that it is havaya. Havaya means that there is an existence of a kedusha, notwithstanding the fact that she comes to be iser kares. By the case of the soita, Rashi doesn't bring, the Gemara doesn't bring, the Rashi doesn't bring any mokar. Rashi, it's apparently just min hasvar. Because if you see Rashi, the hatafsi bakedushin, that's the same line as where we are in the Gemara. The hatafsi bakedushin li'isha, really it's not li'isha but li'isha, meaning with a mapike and with a yud, you see on the side of the Rishash. Li'isha means to her husband. The af li'acha shetzinza, even though she was mezana lepoka minah kedusha or rishayin, the original kedushin doesn't just go poof and okay, we're no longer married, because after all, as long as they are both alive, and unless and until he gives her a get, they're still married. Nothing went and caused that marriage to just go poof into the clouds. So therefore, vaita the tatsi kedushin doesn't mean that he should go and be mekadosh now. They're already mekadosh. It just means that the kedushin continues to be valid and effective, notwithstanding the fact that unfortunately she sinned. And if he lives with her, they're both sinning. But nevertheless, the kedushin is toifis, and therefore if they have a child, ein havlad mamzer. Yes, sir.
If you have one of those improper kedushins, do you have to give a get?
You're asking an excellent question. If the kedushin is toface, which means that was a valid and effective marriage, even though it was a sinful marriage, yes,
then of course
you have to give a get. If loitafsi b'kedushin, where the kedushin is not toface, a person, for instance, who marries his sister or his mother-in-law, gives her a beautiful, beautiful ring, which is worth $1 million, and gives her a ksuba, and gives this and that and the other thing, all of that is worthless nonsense, and therefore null and void. No get is required under any circumstance. Anyway, but presumably a person who's nuts to do any of the foregoing, presumably will give a get as well. Because
the Mason would force them to separate anyway in the middle of these, right?
That is correct. They would tell them, you fellas are engaging in a very, very subtly. The Bezin would tell them, if there's a Mises Bezin involved, then Chas HaSholom, if they're two Asians, they would execute them. However, if
they give Hasra, then tell them they have to break or they're going to be in trouble.
Exactly. Very good. And the more continues on Tanami Hoche, I'll bring a riot to Abaye. And this Braisa adds one more case than Abaye does. Tanami Hoche, Akol Moedim, everybody agrees. Beboal Anita, a person who lives with his own wife, and she's unfortunately Anita. Vial Atsoita, Vial Shemeres Yovam, She'ein Havlad Mamzer. Shemeres Yovam means Ebi Shemeres Yovam that goes and marries Lishuk Beloy Chalitza. You have a husband who passes away, leaving no children. The wife should have either Yibam or Chalitza from her Yavam. She ignored that. She didn't have a Yibam, she didn't have Chalitza, and she just married somebody from the street. That's what we call that she married Lashuk. So what's the din then? And again, that's a sin. You're not allowed to. Loisia Eishas Ameit HaChutzalish Zor. She's not allowed to go and marry Stamazor. She has to have Yibam or Chalitza. But what happens if she did that? And they had a child, says the Braisa, Ein Avlad Mamzer. So now the question is, why didn't Abaye list that? He only did the first two. Why did he leave out number three? L'chayim, it could be that Abaye didn't know of this Braisa. But nevertheless, on his own, anybody can figure out that this is also a situation, L'chayim, that the Shemeres Yavam Shein Avlad Mamzer. So why didn't Abaye mention it for a bit more of Abaye? More Shemeres Yavam Sabkalei. Ikerav ikishmur. What does Gemara mean to say? That this halacha of the price is not so simple. In fact, it's a machloikis rav in Shmuel. So choyer shtikel pel, if you have a price ahead of machloikis rav in Shmuel. But the answer is we have often a rav tanu balik. Besides the fact that, as we know, the amiroim were not responsible to know all the prices; they had to know all the mishnayos. So, what is the machloik between rav and Shmuel about this halacha? So Rashi explains it in some detail. That just like we said by nida, the reason why kedushin is toif is because it says usihi. Nidos olav is a lashon of havai. Havai means it's existential. It does happen. You could have a husband and wife, chasen and gala, she's a nida, and the chasen is effective anyway. There is tfisas kedushin. Here, lagabi, the case of the yavam, the shemeres yavam, it says loisia, eishes hameis, achutz liyizar. So that, again, the word loisia, it doesn't say loisikach, it doesn't say loitischatein, it doesn't say loisigale, it says loisia. That Lysia gives you also an understanding that we're talking about a Havaya. So now the question is, what does this Havaya tell us? Yes or no? So the Braisa assumes that the reason why Ein Avlad Mamzer is because it's Tvisas Kedushin, because it says Lysia. Means, don't go and allow yourself to marry a Yavam Lashuk. She is not allowed to go and marry Lashuk. However, if she does, then there is Havaya, there is a Sia, she's a Bas Havaya. Ah, so the Kedushin is Toifis. Kedushin is Toifis, up to Braisa, that's the reason why Ein Havlad Mamzer. Rav, whoever learns the Pshat and the Posse, just the opposite. Loisia, there should not be a Havaya of Kedushin in such a case. I might think, well, it's only this Alav, there's no Kares involved over here. She's marrying somebody of Klal Yisrael under normal circumstances. There's no reason why she couldn't marry him and he could marry her. It's only because of the fact that she unfortunately lost her husband and there was no Yim, no Chalitza. And it's Alav, Nishkasha, it's Alav. So Solkadai Techamina, that Kedushin should be Toifis, except according to Rabbi Kiva, naturally, says Rav, oh no, Loisia comes to tell you that there is no Havayis Kedushin. And since there's no Havayis Kedushin, then it becomes upgraded, similar to that of an Issachares, or an Issalav, according to Rabbi Kiva. And therefore, the Vlad Chulila would be a Mamzer, because the Kedushin are not Toifis. Shmuel, on the other hand, says Rashi, he's Mesapkele, he's not sure whether Rav is right or Rav is wrong, whether Bryce is right, and so therefore he said, you know what? To be on the safe side, give a get just to go and cover the possibility that the Kedushin is Toifis. Shmuel says, I don't know how to explain Loisia. Does it mean that there is no Havaya and then you do not need a get, like Jeff was pointing out a minute ago? Or does Loisia mean that Loi, don't do it, but Sia, but there is a Bas Havaya. If you did it, the Kedushin is Toifis. Anyway, since Abaye said, I'm not going to get involved in this machlokes, I'm not sure. Rav Reich, Shmuel Reich, you know what? I'll leave out that third case and just talk about the first two cases. Then, according to everybody, Ein Havlad Mapsim.
Which is a Kalmodim.
A Kalmodim?
A Kalmodim.
Who's Akalmodim? Rashi explains in the bottom of Shimon HaTimni, and the top is referring to Rabbi Kiva.
But in this Shemar Yavam, obviously Rabbi Kiva would hold that she is a mantra, no?
That the child is a mountain.
Yeah.
Why would that be?
It's a lot. It's a lot.
It's because you're stam. Also, lot. Okay. Yeah. That sounds right. Sounds good. So, you want to write then Azai. Now, from here until the end of the parak, we're going to go a shtickle, if you will, into a little bit of agadat. Shimon ben Azai said in our mission that he found in Megillas Yochsin. So, we're going to start off the brayser taka with that story, but we're going to see that the Megillas Yochsin said other things as well. Tony Shimon ben Azai, Oimer Matzosi Megillas Yochsin Shalai. I found the Megillas Yochsin because the boy is pointing mamzim eishesish, like we had in our mission. Based on that, we wanted to bring a raya to Rabbi Yeshua. Because, but you know what else it said? It says Mishnas Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov Kav Vinoki. That's a very famous expression that the Gemara has in a number of places, and Rashi really explains what does it mean. Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov Kav Vinoki. Kav means midaktana. Kav is a very small measure. In other words, it's not like a gallon. It's a pint. It's a much smaller. And therefore, says Rashi, for Rashi is about 10 lines before the white lines. Kav midaktana kloimar b'mekoymos mu'otim huniska. You don't find a blessed Yaakov every day of the week. Only find it occasionally, and you find him in Mishnah oy bebrayse and Mishnah bebrayse. Vinoki says Rashi Vinoki b'chol mokim sheniska alochem wherever you find him alochem moise. So now, number one, you'll notice next to the b'mishnah there's an aleph, and the aleph takes you to Rabbi Ranjburg, and the Ranjburg says that Rashi says b'mishnah oy bebrayse. That's not so settled. That's not that everybody agrees. If you look at the Rav Ranjburg, he is this. All the way in the bottom, Yaakov Vinoki, first white line, first line. Mishnah Oy Bebraisa Ad Kalei Shoyna. Dibe Maschul Vinoki Bechol Moki Shinizka Loch Kemoisei. Mevur Mizeh Shadat Kedasa Oymrim Beho Dekayim Olam Yishnah Rebelez Yaakov Kav Vinoki Da Loch Kemoisei Hen Af Bebraisa. V'chein Moichichem Devri Rashi Kedushin V'chein Moichichem Devri Ashas Bi Yevomis Umuklem Rabbi Abraham Yaakov Ali Bede Hilchasa Tolik Tikshay Hilchasa Hilchasa V'yuyin Shom Daf Lam Zayin V'Rashi Hilchasa Hilchasa Dekayim Olam. See, this is all without computers. Rabbi Yonah Borg No Gan Shas. He says, over here, we have it there. V'hosim Bebraisu V'shmah Midah V'braisu Yisrael Kaladeh. I'm on the first wide line, in the middle of the white line. There are others that say, no, we only part with Yaakov in our Mishnah. In fact, and he brings another bunch of sugyos back and forth. So if anybody stops you in the street and says to you, I heard that Mishnah Sublezim and Yaakov Kavanoki, does that apply only in Mishnah is also in Brises, you'll tell them that is a hot potato. Our Mishnah says, our Rashi says, Mishnah Oibe Brisa, but our Ranjburg says, in fact, it's Machloikis, different sugyos, whether it's only Mishnah or even Brises as well. Now, what's the Lashon of Kav? So we said already in Rashi, that means, yes, a small measure, but both Brother Barry and Brother Shai
102.
How do you know it's 102?
Gmachiv Kav.
Well, who says this? This is a Rosh in Mesechtes Erevin on Dav Dalit. Rosh in Mesechtes Erevin on Dav Dalit, he doesn't say it on his own, he brings him B'Shem Rabbeinu Chananel, that when it says Kav, it means that Blazman Yaakov's name is mentioned 102 times in the Gemara, in the Gan Shas. And those 102 times, we always paskin like him, again, depending whether Mishnah or Braisa, you'll have to look at all of them up.
Right. So if it's 102 includes the braises, then that settles it.
Well, maybe it's 102 without the braises.
Exactly.
So that's the chore. That's the homework for you for tomorrow. You let us know.
Where was it? You say it was.
It's Rosh in Erevin on Daf Dalit. Daf Dalit Erevin.
As an aside,
yes.
Eliyashiv has to weigh 102 years old.
Mm-hmm.
He has a sefer called Kav V'Yashar.
Ooh-hoo.
Kav is age Yashar, and it looked like
very him. Nice, wow. Beautiful. Beautiful, beautiful watch. Thank you very much. You just tuned yourself. You heard this already.
I was waiting. I was in Meir Sharm. I bought a lulav and I wanted to have it checked.
Mm-hmm.
And Rabbi Yashiv was standing in line. I forgot who was the posek, and he was standing in line to also have his check.
Rabbi Yashiv was standing in line to show. Yeah, wow, that's very nice. That's it's a midas anava. Beautiful. Okay. Anyway, I had, when I was in Yeshiva in Be'er Yaakov, I had a roommate who bought Hadassim for Sukkis, and then he went to show it to that, I think it was Reb Shloim, I don't remember off the top of my mind his family name, but one of the Dayanim of Eid HaRedes that was considered to be a big bucky, so he stood in line with another 50 people to go and show Hadassim, and then he showed it to him, and the Ruv looked at it, and he told them that they're puzzled. He says, why are they puzzled? He says, for three reasons. What are the three reasons? He says, gentlemen, you have all these people online. After Yom Tov come back, I'll tell you all the three reasons. Sure. Anyway, so he intimidated me, my roommate, because he said, hey, see, you have to show it. So I put Hadassim. I also stood in line and went all the way to the front after, I said, 20 minutes, half an hour, I showed it to him. He says, Kusha v'yusha mahadun says git. He says, divaisach is git. If you know this kusha, why do you have to stand in line? So, in other words, if you know it's good, you don't have to go and show it to the Rav. You only have, if you have a shayla, you see that it's good. Anyway, so this Rav Yashiv obviously wanted to give kuvit to him that people should realize, oh, if Rav Yashiv's going to him, everybody should go to him. Okay, anyway, let's go back to Argiman. So we're in the middle of Shimon ben Azai's discovery of the Megillas Yochsin, where it said the Megillas Yochsin, Mishra Blazer, Yaakov Kavanaki. Uv Kosovan, it says further on that Menashe Horig es Yishaya. The Menashe Melech went, as we'll see in a moment, caused the death of Yishai. Not that he went and took a knife and he killed him, but rather Omarova Maiden Dainai Vikatle. Menashe formed a Bezdin, or maybe he himself was the Bezdin, and then he decided, boom, Yishai HaNovi is a Novi HaSheker, and a Novi HaSheker deserves Misa. Now, where do we find Yishai HaNovi? Yishai HaNovi is a Novi HaSheker. So this is what Menashe said. Amalei, he said to Yishai. Moshe Rabbah, Moshe Rabbeinu said in the Torah, Kli Yerani Odom V'choy, nobody can see a Kodesh Baruch Hu and live. V'yat Amris, and you write in Yishaya, V'eres Hashem, Yoishval Kisram and Isa, you saw. What do you mean you saw? Impossible, Yerani Odom V'choy. That's number one. Kasha number two, Moshe Rabbah, Moshe Rabbeinu said, Mika Hashem L'keinu B'chol Kareinu Eilav. You can always be mispelled to a Kodesh Baruch Hu 24/7. B'chol kareinu eilav, a Kodesh Baruch Hu listens to our tefillas. The Atamas, and you said in Yeshaya, do you show Hashem be matzai? You can only go and be Dorish Hashem at the time that He is available. When is the Kodesh Baruch Hu available? The Gemara is going to say in the bottom of the Amid, that's talking about the Aseres, you make tshuva. But that's not true. The Torah says, B'chol kareinu eilav, and you're limiting it to just to 10 days a year. What's going on? Moreover, Moshe Rabbah Omer es misper yamech amalei. The word Amali explains Rashi, we'll see Mitzvah on Amid Aleph, that a Kodesh Baruch Hu gives a person the full number of years that were set out for that person before he was born. In other words, before the person was conceived, the Kodesh Baruch Hu already gave at that time a letter saying, a certificate that this person is going to live 120, 119, 118, whatever. And if the person, Baruch Hashem, is Zocha, he's Amali, he fills up his allocation, his allotment. Beyond Amris, and you said to Cheskia, "V'oisafti al yamecha chomish es v'shona." Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to add 15 years. Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't add years; you only get your set amount. So, therefore, I have at least three kashas on you, Yeshaya, from the Torah. Obviously, your nevius is not nevius hasheker, and therefore, he was done him lemisa. Om Yeshaya. So Yeshaya now says to himself, or he says out loud, Yadana beid le mekavel mad emale. I have plenty of defenses for these psukim. I know that he is not going to listen to me. I know Menashe is going to ignore me. And he's going to have me killed anyway. The emale, and if I'm going to give him the answers to his kashas, is shui amazing, that I'm going to cause him to become amazing instead of becoming ishogeges, a mutav, that he should go and kill me as a shogeg rather than killing me as a mason. Omar Shem, see, he himself, Yeshaya, said a Shem, Ivla Ba'arza, and he caused himself to be swallowed up in an Eris tree, in a cedar tree. Okay, apparently Menashe knew what he did, and they brought that Eris tree, now the cedar tree, to the Besen Shtibel, Asyudi Arza ben Asura, and then they had the professional executioners take out a saw, and they started sawing this tree from top to bottom, or bottom to top. Kimotla Hade Puma, when they reached the mouth of Yeshaya HaNovi, and they cut through, Noch Nafshe, then Yeshaya died within that cedar tree. Why? This was a punishment to Yeshaya. Mishum the Omad, Yeshaya HaNovi says in Yeshaya, B'soich Am, T'meis V'asayim, Anoichi Yoshev. He's talking to the Kodesh Baruch Hu, and he's saying that unfortunately I'm living among a folk who have T'meis V'asayim, that they have tumma on their lips. And therefore, a Kodesh Baruch Hu gave him midah keneged midah. Since you criticize Bnei Yisrael's mouths and their lips, unfortunately, he was killed there in the cutting of the mouth, the cutting of the lips.
Also,
the Vuzokstein.
Why was he so quickly punished?
There, I think, I'm sure if he is, I think the, you have to look up the Pesukim, but I think he's addressing Klal Yisrael, as opposed to here that Yishai is addressing a Kodesh Baruch Hu. So one thing when you give Teichoch and you say, hey, you guys are acting badly, he's going to go and say, you're all acting like Tzaddikim, nobody's ever going to do tshuva. So you have to, anyway, Ayin Shom, Ayin the Pesukim, Migei Vaitim. Zoki Mora. Exactly. Exactly. And therefore, that's why, unfortunately, he passed away. So now the Gemara says, okay, the story of the Megillas Yochsin is fascinating. Frank Gemara, yeah, in other words, we're done now with the Megillah. Frank Gemara, Mikol Mokim Kosher Kroy Adadi. Doesn't L'choyra Menashe have a good point on each of these three psukim? Says the Gemara of Eres Hashem Kidesanya. Kol Neviim Nistaklu Baspaklaria She'enu Me'ira. Moshe Beinu Nistaklu Baspaklaria Ha'me'ira. The word Aspaklaria is a difficult word to teach, to define. But it means to say is that when Moshe Rabbeinu saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he saw him in a very, very clear vision, while all the other Nevi'im that said Nevi is the name of Hashem, when they were able to go and see Hashem, they saw it in a very murky, cloudy vision. And therefore, what Moshe Rabbeinu is saying is, with a clear vision, it's impossible, that's impossible. However, when it's a cloudy vision, anyway, the things are not so clear. It's like at night that you can't see without lights. So, but you're able to make out something or other, like early in the morning, Mishiyakir. Yeah, start able to see something. The difference between a blue tchelis thread and a white tzitzis thread can start abyssalim. Then that's what Yishaya Navi meant. Eros Hashem Yoshev Al Kisei Ram Venisa, I could never see him with the clarity of vision that Moshe Rabbeinu saw him. I can only see it through such a cloudy vision that I'm able to see a Kodesh Baruch Hu in his front, but not really. It's only through this cloudy vision. So bottom line is, that's the answer to the first year. The second kasha that he asked is, Moshe Rabbeinu, Disha Hashem Mimatzoi, that we said, Mechol Kareinu Elav, Habiyachad Habit Tzibur. If you daven with a tzibur, and then you can go and mispal to Hashem, and the tefillahs will be listened by Kodesh Baruch Hu very intently. Bechol kareinu eilav. Mashenkin, if you daven biyachidus, there's only one time a year where dirshu Hashem bimatzai, where your tefillahs are really effective when the Kodesh Baruch Hu is open for business, open for appointments. Zoktimar v'yachid Amos. When is that? Menachem Rabavua eilas ayam shemein rishon aliyoyim hakipurim. So talking about Aseres Yemei Tshuva, this is brought in the Poskim as well. That's why it's so important to do Aseres Yemei Tshuva, to do Tshuva every day and to be Mispal every day, because then the Shari Shemaim are really open from end to end, really to be Mekabel all of our tefillahs. Now mind you, even a Yochid throughout the year should be Mispal if Chas V'Shalom there's a Tzora of some sort. Just means that this is not a particularly auspicious occasion. With a Tzibur, you don't need an auspicious occasion. You can always go and get an appointment, so to speak, always get a hearing from Hashem. A Yochid, however, doesn't get that type of set appointment, but of course you can always be Mispal, Kodesh Baruch Hu always listens. Just an auspicious occasion, that the best time is during the Seder Mitzvah. Right, same Basi as Mispar Yemech Amale, where the sound of it, said Rashi before, means not to go and add, but if you're a good person, you can fill up and fulfill your days. If Chas V'Shalom you do a chait, Kadosh Baruch Hu might cut it short. But Hashem doesn't add years. Yet in Yeshaya it says, "Voisafti al yamecha chamesh esrei shana." Kadosh Baruch Hu added to Chizki Yomelech an extra 15 years. So you want to know? It's machlokes tano in the sanya. Es bispar yamecha mali. What does that mean? Elu shnei doyrois. The word Shnei Doris over here doesn't mean two generations. It means the word Shnei comes from the word Shonim, from years. And Doris, it means each person that lives in every door, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him a certain set, allocated number of years that he's going to live. Look at the top Rashi, Shnei Doris, Shonim, Shepoiskim Li'odam, Bishas Le'dosim. When a person is born, at that moment, HaKadosh Baruch Hu already certifies upstairs in Shemayim, he is going to live in Yat Hashem 120. Now, if he's Zocha, if he does mitzvahs and masim toivim, he doesn't sin, and the Kodesh Baruch Hu allows him to be mashlim. Mashlim means not to add, but to go and fill that 120-year quota. Lo Zocha, unfortunately, if he sins, cholil v'chaz, then the Kodesh Baruch Hu might reduce the 120 and you're only going to have 118 years. Divrei Rabbi Akiva. And that's, in fact, the way Menashe was learning Pshat in the Pasuk. The Chachamim Omer, no, Zochem Weisifin Loi. The word over here, as Mispar Yemecha Amali, doesn't mean just to fill the original quota, but if a person is a good guy, a Kodesh Baruch Hu might, in fact, add additional years. If he's not Zochem Chas V'Shalom, a Kodesh Baruch Hu will subtract a couple of years. Amar Loi Rabbi Akiva. Okay, so based on this now, now we understand the machloikis, if you will, between Menashe and Yeshaya. It's the same machloikis that we have in this brayza between Rabbi Akiva and the Chacham. Amalei Rabbi Akiva. So now the Chacham says to Rabbi Akiva will prove that we're right. How are you oimer? After all, we have the pasuk in Yeshaya. Voisafti al yamecha meisha seishana. You see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu added 15 years. Now, the reason why Chizkiya Melech was supposed to pass away is because he didn't want to have children, because he saw benavuah that Ruach HaKodesh, that his future... the legacy of future children, progeny, are not going to be so good.
Including Menashe.
Especially Menashe. And therefore, what happened was he refused to go and have children. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu was upset at him, and then he said to Yishai, but that's the reason why, and meant it sincerely. And the Gemara says, Bahari Kafshin Rahman Allah Malach, don't get involved in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's cheshbonis. You got to do what you got to do, and that's Pirat Yeruvia. And then Chizkiya Melech went and he cried his heart out, and he said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm sorry, I sinned. And then the Pasuk says that Yishai told him, you're going to get 15 more years because of your tshuva. And then he did marry, and he didn't have a child. He did have a child, and that was Menashe, who unfortunately was, as Chizkiya Melech had predicted, he was became a greater Russia. And he's, of course, brought in all of his glory at the end of Sechta Sanhedrin. Yes. Then, unfortunately, he was a great Rashi. He doesn't get a
Mabah.
Mitrabashi. They got some Avoy Dezorah. They got some Mice. Yeah, anyway, beginning back to our Gemara now. So, L'choyra Avarai Voisafti, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Moisif, not like Rebbe Akiva. Amalehem Mishaloi Hoisifuloi. He got back those years that he was originally allocated at the beginning of his lifetime. In other words, Chizkiya Melech, let's assume, lived for 120 years. So when he was born, he was supposed to live 120. Because he didn't have kids, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was kindness him, penalized him, that he was going to die at 105, took away 15 years. But now that he did tshuva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu returned the 15 years back. So that's like, it was Mamali, the original allocation. Teida, I'll bring you a riot. This is not just a remote pshat. The Harei Shaharei Novi Oimed Umestabe Hine Bein Noilad LeBeis David Yishayoshio Shemai V'Dain Lo Noilad Menashe. We have over here that the pasuk in Melachim says that eventually there will be a ben that's going to be born to Beis David, and that's going to be Yishio HaMelech, who is, I believe, the son of Menashe. And now you're talking about a situation where Chizkiya HaMelech didn't even have Menashe yet. And you have a prediction that there's going to be Yoshio Shemai, Vadaile Nele Menashe. That being the case, how can the Pasuk go and tell us it'll be Yoshio? After all, if Chizkiya HaMelech did not do tshuva and he had passed away, he wouldn't have produced Menashe. Menashe wouldn't have produced Yoshio. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of course, knew that Menashe would do tshuva, and therefore he's going to give him back the original years. So if you're telling me that he's going to be Moise of brand new years, at this time, how can you be Moise of brand new years? HaKadosh Baruch Hu had not we're talking about Yishayo. Chizkiya wasn't born yet either. Chizkiya. Chizkiya. Thank you very much. Yashkaya. So Chizkiya Melech had not produced Menashe yet. Menashe certainly hadn't produced Yishayo yet. And we're saying that eventually Yishayo is going to be born. If in fact Chizkiya did not do tshuva and he was only allocated his original 105 years, then there never would have been a Menashe and there never would have been a Yoshio. The answer is that in fact he originally had 120 years. And therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew that he was going to be Mamali the 120, and that therefore there was going to be a Menashe and there's going to be a Chizkiya mit a Menashe mit a Yoshio. But that's all based on the fact that he had the original allocation. He lost that allocation because he didn't have kids, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu restored it to the original allocation. Good. Rabbanan miksiv mechizkiya lebeis David ksiv imechizkiya noled imi inish achrena. What the Gemara is telling us is the pasuk hine bein noled beis David Yoshio Shemai. It doesn't say that there's going to be Yoshio, the son of Menashe, the grandson of Chizkiya HaMelech. It just says a Yoshio would be born, Le Beis David. Okay, so Beis David, it could be other children of Beis David who were not Molochim, they could have produced eventually that Yoshio. The fact that it came from them, that's because Taka Chizki did Tshuva and all the rest. But that's no riot to you that you originally allocate 120 and then they took off 15 and the Kadosh Baruch Hu restored it. No riot, because it could have come from someone else. Okay, we finish now with this whole story, Mitchim and Azim and the Gilas Yachsim. We go back to the Mishnah. Ishtei Shemesa, Yemutu Bachoysa, Yemimtu Shemesa, Yemutu Bachoysa, Rav Yosef, Kanchan Rebbe, Mishnah Shehne Tzricha. Why is it a Mishnah Shehne Tzricha? Says the last Rashi. Dezil Kari Beravu. Every child who learns in Cheder, the Chumash, and learns it properly, knows that it says, Oleh Bechayeha. Shlein Yasra Achoysa, El Bechayeha. As long as the Achoysa is alive, it's awesome. But once his ishtoi passes away, then achoyse becomes muteris. I don't need a mishnah for that. Therefore, it's a mishnah shein tzricha. Rabbi Yisai, try to get as much sleep tonight as possible because Rabbi Gamliel, the parak of Gamliel, is quite a challenging parak. So we're going to have to go and gird our strength together.